Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I'd like to ask Director Lee to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have roll call, please.
President Steele, absent. Vice President Peace?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Okay, we'll move into public comments. The public could comment on anything that is not on the agenda. Anything that is on the agenda, you'll have ample opportunity to speak about that. Does anyone have public comments of any sort? Seeing none, we'll close public comments, and we'll go into area agency reports. We have the Sheriff's Office, please.
Good afternoon. The stats for February, I had calls for service, 384 calls that we received to the Discovery Bay area, and we took about 41 reports. Compared to last month, just a slight increase in calls and reports. The one thing that stands out a little bit on what I'm looking at is the theft of vehicle parts. We had two Dodge vehicles with the catalytic converters taken out underneath them. So if we can keep an eye on that, especially at night. I know it's hard. It's not really bright light out there. People easily hide, especially at night time. I crawl under there, unbolt them, boom, they're gone, and they'll come if they want to. Just keep calling in suspicious persons and suspicious vehicles, and we'll do our best. Any questions from anyone?
No questions. Could you guys put out a public service announcement, maybe just to the local papers, so they could run just a little blurb on be aware if you have that type of vehicle, something along that line?
It's usually any four-wheel drive or a high-rise type vehicle,
right.
Toyotas and Dodges,
yeah,
basically.
So. All right.
And yeah, we did that. We threw out flyers, but I'll put something together.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Thank you. Any comments from the board? Okay, thank you very much. The fire department, please.
Good evening, board. Hugh Henderson, East Contra Fire. Start off with just the summary calls for the month of February. As the district, we responded to a total of 537 calls. With an average response time of 7 minutes and 32 seconds. Our total responses for the month of February were 617 total rollouts. When you look in the Discovery Bay Byron area, there were a total of 69 calls in February with an average response time of 9 minutes and 42 seconds. The district continues to rely on automatic aid with Contra Costa Fire. Contra Costa Fire assisted us 19 times in the month of February with 20 engines and a total response. We assisted them 10 times and sent over 10 engines. At this week's Board of Directors meeting, the board received the updated engineer's report and moved forward with calling for the ballots to be mailed out for the benefit assessment. Those ballots will be mailed out to property owners next Friday, on the Friday the 13th, and we will hold the public hearing of the tabulation of those ballots on April 27th. I've already contacted your general manager, so he's aware that your parcels will be becoming before this board, and provided him with some additional information about the benefit assessment we're working on. The PowerPoint that was used by our consultant to make the engineer's report, I left you a copy with tonight. It's available on our website, also for public view. The board is going to be doing three open houses over the next 2 weeks. The first one's tomorrow night. All three of them are going to be at the Oakley Fire Station in our classroom there. Tomorrow night, and it's from 7 to 9, it's a drop-in. Also, we're doing a drop-in on March 11th and a drop-in on Saturday from 9 to, from 7 to 9. And then Saturday the 14th from noon to 3, we'll do our third workshop. All the information about the benefit assessment is on our website, and I thought I heard somebody ask that question. Our website is www.eccfpd.org, or the first letter of East Contra Costa Fire Protection District.org. And that information's there, and then if people have individual questions about parcels or property, I'd be happy to meet with people one-on-one or in groups to go through that. As you know, we had to spend a good amount of time of updating our data and making sure that our data was correct, especially when it came to water supply, because that was one of the areas that we had the biggest problems. And again, I want to commend your staff for being very assisting to the district as we were trying to double check and triple check the information prior to going back to the public. With that, I'm available for any questions.
I know that it's critical that every resident of Discovery Bay get the mailer, so we got a chance of it passing. A lot of people in this town, me being one of them, receive my mail at a P.O. box. Have they taken into account at all how many ballots are going to go to P.O. boxes rather than addresses?
However your address as a property owner is set up with the county assessor, or however you normally would receive your tax bill, is the address of record for your property, and that's how it's. So if your property is set up with a P.O. box that you receive your tax bill that's you normally receive late October, early November, in the two-parter for December and April, that you're going to receive your ballot at the same spot. If you don't receive a ballot in the first week, please contact the district. That's also on our website, and we have ability to get you a duplicate ballot. The other thing that we did to try to make things easier for municipalities and large property owners, that any property owner or any property that has the same address of 25 or more parcels, we sent out a consolidated ballot. There was about 86 across the district on that. The district has about a little over 43,000 parcels between. So most of that, about 90% of that, are single family homes. On an average, a single family home that's less than 3,600 square feet within 5 miles of a fire station and within 1,000 feet of a fire hydrant is about $103. If that house is a newer house and has sprinklers, it's about $95, because there's a reduction for the ability for that residence to have a sprinkler. Your commercial buildings, your ag land, those all have different categories, how the benefit assessment is spread across by the engineer. And again, the full engineer's report is about 27 pages, and it's available on our website.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more other questions? Any public comments at all? Thank you, Chief.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Okay. Hugh, I'm sorry, when do you think are we getting those ballots?
The ballots, I would expect that you're going to see them the 16th or 17th of March.
And when are they have what, 30 days?
They're 6 weeks, so they're due the last Monday in April.
Rick, we put something on our website. It's Monday in March. It says if you don't receive it, that you might go in the fire department's website and get it.
Yeah, that's going to have to come back to the board once we get all of our property notices for board determination on how we're going to move forward with our properties and voting on it. So that will be coming back for you within that time frame identified by the chief.
Yes, thank you. I'm not sure. I don't see anyone from the CHP here. It's Supervisor Peoples. Representative here tonight. I don't see any. So with that, we'll move on to committee and liaison reports. Is there a transplant report at all? Planning Commission? Code enforcement?
Yes, it was a code enforcement meeting last Thursday. And we discussed a lot about, mostly about signs and what the county might be doing with regard to inappropriately placed signs in the town. They're now even more aware of it, so they'll be looking at options for weekend enforcement.
Okay, thank you. no special district report. At this point, I'd like to, for the public's benefit, move to item G1, which is our Parks and Recreation event calendar. I know there appears in the audience to be some interest in that, so I'd like to have staff come up and make their presentation on Parks and Rec event calendar.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As Dan works his way up to the podium, he's already there. We're a little bit late in getting it to you this year, but nonetheless, we have our annual event calendar that's before you. Dan will go over some of the projects. What you're doing this evening is, if you approve the calendar, these events will not come back to you. They will be considered approved, and they won't come back to you unless there's a substantive change in them, or there's a new event that's not on the calendar that would require the board authorization. So with that, Dan, why don't you go ahead and give an update on what's going on.
Good evening. So here we have a list of the events scheduled for the current year. The most current event being the Discovery Bay Lions Easter Egg Hunt on April 4th, followed by the town-sponsored event, and the Lions Club is co-sponsoring with us the Earth Day Family Festival on April 25th. We also, this year, our new event we're going to be having is the National Senior Health and Fitness Day, which coincides with their national program. It's going to be the 22nd year of this event, 22nd year they've provided this event, and I've joined on to be a co-sponsor and run this event through in the town, which will be on Wednesday, May 27th. We are preparing for our Friday night films at the Discovery Bay Community Center. We're going to have five showings this summer, June 19th, the 26th, July 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. The National Campout, which was put on by the Delta Sun-Times, which will be happening on July 27th, June 27th into June 28th, and that will be at Cornell Park. The Discovery Bay Lions will be hosting their annual car show, which will be on the 12th of September. And I think there is a change to the community open house mixer between the Lions and the Chamber. I was informed of this change after I already put the calendar together. I think the change of that date will be in October from the 22nd. Now, I think this is where everyone's coming here. We have two events that have been requested for the same day, two concerts, one put on by the Discovery Bay Community Foundation and the other one by the Lions Club with the Chamber, which will be on October 10th. So the Rocktoberfest has been brought to me by the Chamber and the Lions, and then Rocking on the Bay concert by the Discovery Bay Community Foundation. November 9th through the 20th, we will have our annual Festival of the Trees again with our auction and boutique on the 21st. And then December 5th, we have the Holiday Parade, Holiday of Lights Parade, which will conclude the judging at the Discovery Bay Community Center by the Lions Club. And then a new event that I'm putting together, which will be on December 12th, which will be Cereal with Santa for Kids. And then after that, we will have Santa Paws. So pictures with your pets and Santa will follow after the cereal event with Santa.
Are there any clarifying questions the board has? Go ahead.
I'm a little concerned about the Rocktoberfest. We've had a commitment to the Lions Club. We had it there last year. Certainly the plan was to have it again this year. How are you booking two of them on the same day?
Well, that's why we were here. Hopefully that the board can give us some direction.
Mr. President, members of the board,
yeah.
In talking to representatives of both groups earlier, just before the meeting, it's my understanding that there's been a resolution to that, and I'm not sure if the Lions Club President, David Cerulli, or the Foundation President, Jim Addison, want to convey what that is, or what your plan is.
Well, after discussing, having it all in one day, it'd be best for the community and best for everyone involved if we just share our resources and do it all in one day. So we'll just do it under, one day. And that'll be that. Any questions?
For clarification purposes, the funds that are going to be raised, you guys have agreed on where they're going to go, and they're all going to go to the same
benefit?
Yes,
they're all going to go to the schools.
That's not our agreement.
Yeah.
We have to discuss all that.
We have to discuss that.
We are going to.
Just wait a second. I want to hear from the public. The board wants to hear everything. That's fine. Are you finished with your presentation?
I am. Well, I thought we agreed on the schools, but that would be my choice, is to have all the money go through schools. I thought that's what we were going to do.
Thank you. The Lions Club representative, please.
First of all, I think we owe a great deal of thanks to Patty Gonzalez, who's the president of the chamber, because she's the one that got down to brass knuckles and worked this whole thing out. So that was very good of her. Secondly, we the Lions Club agree that it should go to a single cause. The chamber and the Lions Club are working together on a golf tournament that is going to go to the schools. And so I would propose that we make this a true community event and do it for the community center, which would put all the money into right back to the community. And I think we can figure out a way to get that in an account so that as projects are going forward, the community center would have some money to spend, which I think would be a good idea. So we have to work that out and see if we can all agree to the cause. We do agree that it should go to one single event. We do have to work out the details of who's going to be doing what, and I'm sure that can all be worked out.
Just so the board is clear, is the Lions Club and the Community Foundation okay working together on that same day? And
I don't have any problem working with the foundation. I know that there has been some acrimony from the foundation toward the Lions Club, but I'm sure that will stop in the future, and we can all work together.
All right. Yeah, but I think from the board standpoint, what goes on behind the scenes between the two organizations and how you distribute your funding, that would be your decision.
Yeah, we'll have to work that out. But we do agree it should go to one single cause.
And that's fine. I think what the board and the town are more concerned about is that we don't have two competing things, and there's issues from a community standpoint. So
I totally agree with you.
All right. Is there
this is an event that we've been doing for the past 2 years. This was going to be our third year, and it's great if we could make it more of a community event. Last year it was run by the Lions only, and so getting all the clubs together, I think is a great way to do it.
Right. Is there thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item?
Yeah, I wasn't done.
Oh. Let's finish public first.
I was going to finish public comment, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
Unless you had questions.
No, because I was asking him about it, and that's when they came up. So go ahead and finish public comment.
Yeah. Is there any other public comment? Seeing none, the board?
The concern that I have is that I understand two foundations. I understand the Lions Club. I understand the foundation. And to me, a foundation is basically, in this case, taking something that's already in place and splitting it among a foundation and among the Lions Club, which I don't understand. The Lions Club has done this for 2 years. We have a relationship with the Lions Club. It's pretty much done deal and etched in stone. And I don't want to see something happen where a foundation is saying, well, no, we want the money to go to this cause. You want it to go to that cause. Well, this is technically a Lions Club function. So when you guys work this out, I just don't want to see it come to a point where there's an obviously adversarial situation. It needs to be, I believe the Lions Club should have the final say in this. If they want to partner this with your foundation, great. But the choice of where the money goes, I believe, should come from the Lions Club. The Lions Club had this already.
Yeah. And I have a little different point of view. I mean, it's the same point of view, but stated a little differently. I think it's great that two organizations within the town are willing to work together. I trust that everybody will be able to work towards the same cause. I think it's good on both parts, and the town really isn't involved in where the money goes, because what we're doing is providing the facility, and I'm sure that you guys will work that out in an amicable way. I know both you pretty well, and I trust both you will in fact do that. And it's just, I think it's great that you guys are working together on this. I really do.
Just
one thing. It's three organizations.
You're right.
The chambers
my bad. My bad.
Thank you.
Director Lee.
Even better. Three organizations working together.
Correct me too. I forgot about the chamber. But I'm sorry.
All right, Director Lee, please.
That gets back to my comment. We do have three organizations here. I think they're doing a real valuable service to the community. However, I think that the town of Discovery Bay, in terms of agreements for use of property, should deal with one entity and one entity only, so that we don't get involved in any of the other issues. If the Lions chooses to partner with other organizations, sort of on a subcontracting basis outside of the issue with the town of Discovery Bay, I think that's all the better. But I think we should have our agreement with one organization.
I agree with that. Is there someone from the chamber here?
Yes.
Can we bring?
Yes.
What would you like to know? You've said everything.
I would like to hear the chamber's point of view.
Okay. Well, the chamber was contacted by the Lions Club this year to partner with them on this event. And I was aware that Jim was also wanting to partner or do an event on that day as well. So I knew there was going to be a little issue until about a couple hours ago. I talked to both gentlemen and I asked them why we couldn't just pool our resources and do this together. And I thought it would really make a lot of sense that it's, I said, I'm the chamber president this year. And I said, I don't want to spend the whole year fighting with everyone. I would really like us to just start somewhere fresh. And I think they were both very agreeable. And I think it's going to be a great event. I think it's going to be just what we need to start working together.
Great. Does the, is the chamber in agreement that they could be a subcommittee or a sub-organization of
yes.
the Lions Club so that the town would be dealing with one organization and not having three contracts, if you will?
Well, we worked with them 2 years ago. We partnered with the Lions on this very event, and it went very well.
Okay.
So we just didn't work with them last year, and for what reason, we don't know. But this year, the board has already discussed it, and the board has already approved this event, so we were going to work with the Lions on whatever they need.
All right, great.
Okay.
Can I ask the thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask Foundation to come to the podium, please? Is the Foundation okay with having the Lions Club as the, from our standpoint, the lead organization, and you guys work out all that behind?
Yep, we can work it out.
Perfect. Okay. Is there any other comments from the board? Do I hear a motion?
Are you done with your list?
Yes.
I would move staff's recommendation with regards to events to the community center.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
With the Lions Club being the lead organization on this particular event. Thank you. Okay.
I just want to thank all three parties for coming to a mutual consensus. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. With that, we're going to go back to presentations. The capital improvement program update, please. If the community wants to depart, you're free to depart. All your stuff is pretty well handled. If you want to hear about the rest of it, stay in your seats.
Thanks for coming. We're meeting same time, same place next month.
Oh, yeah.
Come again.
Come again.
Make it a regular thing.
The Fair Weather Fans.
This month. This month? Oh, yeah, we do have another meeting. You're right.
You got an Adobe Air message.
Okay, Gregory Harris, Herbert's Engineering. I'm a district engineer. And I'll give you an update on the CIP sort of bond fund program. You know, as you know, the CIP is growing and new projects are being added. But rather than keep complicating it, we're going to finish off the bonds and show what's going on. with those. I gave this presentation last November, and as requested, we showed the differences from the last time I talked to you, so kind of track, you know, what's going on. The bond fund projects are listed here. They included the UV improvements, solids handling facilities, pump station W improvements, secondary improvements that we're working on now, lift station F. There was a contingency amount, there was well 7 included in those. Since all that money was authorized and planned, you know, we track each project against actual expenses versus what was projected at the time that the bond was issued. And I present those differences here. So the first column is how much the bond, what did the bond amount actually have when you went out to get the bond, okay? The second column is the CIP budget. And for all of them, they're the same, except for the solids handling facilities, because a portion of the solids handling facilities was in the CIP the year before you issued the bonds. But we tracked the whole project, a piece of the project. And so you originally had a budget of $4,651,000 for that project, including CIP and bond money. It's just you picked up $3.8 million of it in the bond. Everything else, the bond essentially matched the estimate for the project. The next column over is what is currently the actual cost. This is based upon all receipts returned in, paid contractors, everything like that. So in some instances, the cost is less. Early on, we were less, and then later on, projects started exceeding the original estimates. Part of that is some inflationary things, and then there were issues developed along the way to present that. And then the next column over is the current overage for the project. So, you know, how much is it over? You know, just to simply do the math for you. Early on, we were under budget. Later on, we were over budget on projects. And then how much has that changed since last time? So a year ago, or 6 months ago, last November almost, I was here, and I told you we were over or we were under then as well. So what's changed? You know, that's the last column here. So last time, on 11/19, for instance, I told you the same number I'm telling you today on the UV improvements because the project's done. Nothing changed on the project, and that project's been completed. Similarly for solids handling, similarly for the pump station W pump station project. There's been a slight increase on the secondary improvements project. Last time I told you were over about $694,000, and this time you're about $701,000. The issue with the change on that is there's been a change order related to the concrete was degraded at the headworks. So there was a repair that had to be made that wasn't known at the time. And so there's a slight change in that. Lift station F has been completed, and there's been no change in the budget on that since known. The bond contingency still remains as contingency. And then well 7 has come through. Last time we were right on budget, you know, $13,000 over budget. PG&E has requested a change to the electrical equipment. So there's about a $60,000 change order that took place that has pushed that cost up. So now we're 110, and there's been some other miscellaneous charges that we've cut up to. You know, in summary, you're currently over, not counting the $300,000, the $300,000 sitting on the side. You're currently over $1.12 million from the combination of all the projects. And last time we told you were over about $1.1 million, essentially, last time we talked. The biggest change occurring on well 7 as they finish. Well 7 is about 3 months left. So, and most of the work is done. They're waiting on electrical panel. The change order is all related to electrical work that PG&E required. So there's not anticipated a lot left in terms of potential change orders. And there's about 5 months left on the secondary project. And we're not anticipating change orders pushing us beyond where we're at on that. We're also basically done digging, and that's where most of your change orders occur, unknown things you come across when you're digging. So that's all done on the secondary project. So what's the difference from last time we talked? It's about $100,000. That's shown down there. So I'm sorry, that update, I forgot to change the text. It says April 2014 update. That was, in fact, the 11/19/2014 update. I picked it up on the right-hand side, but I forgot to fix it at the bottom. Okay. So it's about $100,000 higher than last time. And like I said, $60,000 of it straight up is a PG&E issue. and submitted, and just submitted little things that got tacked in there along the way. And that is your current budget on bond projects. Once the bond projects finish, we'll probably, we'll stop giving an update on bond projects, and then, you know, we'll maybe go back to individual projects, or if we want to group groups of projects, or year by CIPs, or I mean, I don't know how you want to do your budget updates at that point, but certainly accommodate that on the capital side.
All right. Manager Howard.
Greg, I know that there is a built-in contingency in some of these projects, especially the solids handling. What was that number? Not the solids, I'm sorry, the secondary improvements.
Okay, so the secondary improvements has a built-in contingency of $200,000. That's built in. And at the moment, we have spent approximately $60,000 of that contingency. So there are some discussions about issues, about whether we need to pay some things or not pay some things or whatever. But even with the total discussion amounts that we're talking about at the moment is around $100,000. So it could be and is likely that that project could come in under the amount shown. The when I say under the amount, the bid amount, the current actual bid cost and everything is 6.75 million. You know, it might roll in there at 6.6. You know, it might roll in there around there. But at the moment, we don't project that way until we see where the contract cushion land out. So the contract amount is 6.751, but there is a built-in cushion there. That's why we're not anticipating any overages, because basically we got 5 months left and we still got $100,000 to $150,000 remaining as contingency funds for that project. And you know, we're out of the ground. We're getting to, you know, a very, very comfortable point where, you know, we don't anticipate a lot more change orders. There'll be some little things, but the big stuff's behind us, you know.
So, go ahead.
So, of all the projects we had there, we actually built a secondary contingency fund into that single project of $200,000?
Most projects, I'll build some kind of a contingency fund to handle change orders. So in some cases, we exceed it. In some cases, we don't. For instance, on lift station F, you know, we had a bid amount of $688,963. And actually, I've reduced that amount. But we had a bid amount that was like $15,000 over. We had $15,000 in contingency, I should say. And we used about five of it. So we got like 10 back, you know, kind of thing. That one wasn't big because it wasn't a big dollar item. On this project, you know, it was a $6.7 million bid. We had about $200,000 contingency, and we used about 50. But as the project closes, so if I put complete on the project, at that point I absorb that contingency back and I give you the real dollar amount.
So it's either, yeah, it either helps a deficit or it increases a savings.
Right, yeah, exactly. Okay. So, but I don't absorb it, I don't do that until we're at the end, and I know
so there's two projects that still have not, we obviously what our final numbers are because they're not done yet.
Yeah, correct. You know, but we're, you know, this is basically what we're tracking. Now, Well 7 did not have a contingency fund built into it in the contractor's bid. So that's why any change orders that occur on it automatically bump up, because there is no contingency. And then on the secondary improvements, as I said, there is a contingency, and we're not close to using it all.
Well, if we're over 700,000, I guess we're pretty close to using it all.
Well, that's correct. I'm tracking 700,000.
I'm with you.
Right?
That could reduce
to 600,000.
At this minute, you could deduct 150,000 from it, but we don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that. Exactly.
I'm with you.
Right. So I don't. You know, I don't give you a cake early. You're gonna have to wait for it. Okay.
I just want the frosting. I don't care about the cake.
All right. So you're gonna have to wait for that.
Okay.
So I can. I have some other capital improvement projects to discuss, but these are the essentially bond fund projects. So I want to answer any questions on these before I move on to anything else.
Any board comments?
I do have one.
Director Lee.
Manager Howard, what is the time frame to expend the bond funds?
36 months from August of 2012.
Thank you.
The question.
And if we're if we miss that date by a few months, we're still okay, because we're substantially completed. Every contract is let, the projects are wrapping up, and so if we exceed it by a month or two or three.
But the bond funds would be spent, but not the contingencies that are funds outside of the bond proceeds.
Well, the contingencies will help balance out the right. negative number.
But you will have spent the 14.1 by August of this year.
Yes.
Thank you.
Question I have is
it'll be close. We might not be done by August, Greg, with secondary.
It'll be something close. They're finishing, but you didn't get the invoice in August. You might get the invoice in September, you know, that kind
that's,
of stuff.
That's fine, okay.
But we will have spent 14.1 because we're
I don't want to incur
$800,000 short of the total dollar.
Correct. I don't want to incur the penalties after the conclusion of the 36 months.
Yeah.
Do we have a solution or a concept on the current overages? We're approximately, based on just today and what we're seeing here, approximately $1 million over on all of these bond projects. Is there a strategy that maybe I'm not seeing on here that brings us closer to our bond amount?
Yeah, the first strategy is the bond contingency will get used to reduce the overage.
Right.
So we'll go from 1.1 to 800,000.
Right.
Okay. The reality is it's going to have to be made up in either an annual budget or in reserves. So either we are going to budget a line item to supplement, you know, or that kind of thing, these projects. But in reality, the CIP budget here, they're updated when we get a contract in. You know, so like even though I estimated $6 million, you know, when a contract is let, and the contractor's bid is in, and that's a firm PO that you guys create, that adjusts into your CIP automatically because they have to pay it, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a combination of rolling into your CIP, and then did we short another project? Well, there's a lot of projects in there, who knows? Or we made a conscious decision at some point saying, you know, we don't want to short somebody else. We're gonna pull that from reserves at the time. But because this is occurring over 3 years, a lot of that squishes along, you know. So I'm not going to say this year we said let's just fund it through CIP, but you reserve, you know, that kind of thing. So the real thing is this is the year where it all comes to an end. We're going to spend the whole bond, you know, we're going to spend the whole bond and then some. So you were asking about 14.1, you know, we're going to, you know, over the 3 year period, we're going to spend the 15.7. You know, that's what we're spending over the 3 year period. It's just that it's not like we paid the whole bill this year. We're making up the million this year. But it is something that has to be absorbed by the district. It is a cost absorbed by the district. And how it gets absorbed is part of, you know, Dina and Rick and stuff strategizing as they come along. And it isn't a one thing only kind of thing.
All right, great. And the second question is on the PG&E overages for Well 7. What caused PG&E to require us to do something we hadn't quite foreseen?
My understanding of Vance, I assessed as a virtual before I came over today, is PG&E wanted the interconnection changed. Something about how the switchgear connects to their line side system changed. And as a result, after design was out, we had to change what was in the design to meet their requirements, per se, on that switchgear. So that's the biggest part of it. It's an electrical change. So we're building the gear physically different than originally planned. And that was requested because apparently PG&E was reviewing that equipment and made those comments and insisted the district change that focus.
Right, but so PG&E didn't sign off on our plans prior to us going out the contract?
It's not a common deal. Like, they'll look at it and actually... Buried in this Well 7 cost, we've actually paid PG&E like $50,000 to PG&E, not to a contractor to change equipment, but to PG&E to review and make those reviews and do those things, you know, for the project.
If you remember, on the project listed as 1, 2, and 3 pump station, W influent pump station improvements, the exact same thing came up with PG&E on that project. A couple of years ago when we had to change electrical power coming into it on the fly after the fact. And that came back before the board, and at that point in time, And I remember your frustration with that item at that time as well.
Right. But if I'm understanding it correctly, it's caused by PG&E not getting back to us, reviewing the plans prior to us going out to bid so that we know what the engineering...
Sometimes, yes. You know, sometimes. You know, PG&E is their own animal.
I agree.
And so there's times you can send them drawings and you don't get an answer. You know, you proceed on. And then you force an inspection or you do some other things as the project progresses and they get involved. It's not uncommon for them to say, wait a minute, last second. You know, in this particular case, Well 7 was a new service, so there was no existing service there. And, essentially they changed their mind how they want to connect to it, you know, from, you know, I wasn't a design engineer on that, but my understanding is they had planned for a certain type of connection and that connection type changed.
And my frustration is not with staff.
Yeah,
my frustration is with our public utility company and how they respond. But thank you for your clarification.
All right, no problem. So if there's no more... This is coming to a close. We probably will have just the closeout one. You know, so this is March. You know, talking 3 to 5 months, and we're done. So we will come back to you when we're all said and done, and you'll see the final answer. You know, about did this get absorbed, that get absorbed. That'll probably occur late summer.
You'll also see during the budget process, before the projects are wrapped up, at that point in time, we'll have those numbers in by then. So as the board starts to take a look at the CIP program, as we work through the budget, you'll see where we are with those. You get a little bit closer to it. But from bringing a presentation back, we'll wait till they're done on that. With respect to answering the question, bridging the gap, if you will, I could see it being a combination of things at this point in time. We haven't really sat down and talked about it, but knowing that elephant is in the room, we're going to have to address. It'll be part of the budget process, and those that sit on the budget committee will have an opportunity to discuss it, as well as those that sit on the water wastewater subcommittee.
Thank you.
Okay, so a few other capital projects that we're working on now that the wastewater committee is aware of, etc. The reclaimed water project, the screen is in, and this is so that we can use reclaimed water at the treatment plant and not use our well water at the treatment plant. And that screen is in, and we got proposals from Conco West to install the screen. It was $67,000 to do all of it but the electrical. In talking with Veolia, they feel they can do it a lot cheaper, basically. They feel like that they can do it as part of the contract with us already without any additional cost for their labor. So what we're going to do is have Conco install the concrete. Which they can't, Veolia can't do. Install the concrete, make a hot tap. But Veolia is going to install the piping for us. And so the cost is only $11,000 for the concrete, and then Veolia will buy the materials and sort of that. So we were thinking that we can get it done cheaper than having the outside contractor doing it. And they're proceeding on that now. So we've authorized the concrete pad to go in on that.
What do we budget for that?
We actually had
$175,000,
and we're going to come under that. We're going to be under that budget. Especially if we do this way. Okay.
And an important part of that is that it gets glossed over a lot is the fact that we're going to save 24 million gallons per year in bottled water.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a real. We're also going to get a rebate for it. We're going to get PG&E a rebate for it. The other project we're working on is a filtration project. The design is due out in April. That's part of our permit that we have to finish design by April. And that's coming along. We also have a pilot project going, and the pilot has had some good results. We also had some sensors, and so the data got messed up. But we're continuing that pilot, you know, to show that demonstrates. And then one unique aspect that we're going to pilot, as you are aware, our new permit requires us to treat nitrate down the road. We're going to try and pilot, well, we are going to pilot, adding methanol to the filter as a process that can remove nitrate with the filter that we're building already. And so it could save some capital costs down the road on the other nitrate thing. So we're actually going to pilot test that while it's on site. And as part of that, Stantec is under contract. You guys approved that earlier. to do a study on what is the proper way for Discovery Bay, the most economical way to treat that nitrate. As part of the permit, that's due April 30 to the board, to the regional board. And so this data will go into that analysis as well. So that's two things going on, one with filtration and one with nitrate. And then our budgets right now are plug numbers for nitrate, but hopefully we'll have a more firm cost now after this study, and we'll be able to more firmly set up what is nitrate going to cost us, you know, in terms of what's there after April. Okay, and yeah, that's the update on those things.
Any board comment?
Nope.
I have none. Thank you.
Thanks, Gregory.
Okay, we're going to go now to the consent calendar.
Make a motion.
Do I, prior to doing that, do we have any public comment on the consent calendar? Seeing none, it's been moved and seconded.
I have one correction. It was a mathematical error on my part. On the swimming pool rehabilitation resurfacing project, the final project cost I noted was $54,265. I must have had butterfingers. The actual number is $56,190 when you throw in the two change orders. So there was one change order for $1,790, and one change order for $4,400. And this is the notice of completion and the recordation of the notice of completion and the release of retention.
What was the $4,400 change?
There's a number of pool skimmers in the pool, and two of them were cracked all the way through and were leaking into the ground, and they had to be replaced.
All right, that was found once the
once they were in there working on the pool itself. Yes.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye. Just a point of clarification. So with that motion, that's with that change noted.
True. Yes,
correct.
Hear the motion. Second, accepts the change.
Absolutely.
Yes. And the motion carries. Okay, now we're going to go to G2, which is agency comment on temporary events held at the Yacht Club.
Yacht Club?
Nope. Yacht Harbor.
Yacht Harbor, excuse me. Yacht Harbor.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, members of the board. This is a very common item that the board sees from the county Department of Conservation and Development. The owners of the Yacht Harbor have submitted a land use application to host, I believe it is up to 16 annual events per year, the poker run, there's weddings that take place out there, there are concerts that take place out there, and the county is seeking board input as to any comments that you may have.
Yeah, ask us for comment before.
They've never done this before, it's new. In the past, we just kind of had events there, and because of the kind of the crackdown that occurred last year, if you don't mind me explaining, the county is now watching the events. You were only allowed to do three a year without this permit, and we've gotten away with it up until this year. So now we're just getting an official permit. The Lions Club is actually paying for it. It's about $5,000, and it'll cover all events at the Yacht Harbor. And that benefits the community, it benefits other nonprofits, and it's a good idea all the way around, in my opinion.
I didn't realize they started that.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, do I hear?
I would make a motion. We have no negative comment.
The letter's actually already written.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, we're going to go to G3, approve and adopt resolution establishing revolving fund. Staff, please.
Again, thank you, Mr. Vice President, members of the board. This item came before the board back in 2012, on November 7, 2012. Prior to that time, and by state law, a community services district was only allowed to have a revolving fund account, a secondary account, if you will, for day-to-day expenses, up to $40,000 in the account at any one time. As you know, we utilize the county treasurer as our treasurer, so they are our primary depository, and ECC Bank acts as our secondary depository. In 2011, state law changed and allowed community services districts, first time in over 50 years they changed this, to be able to use a revolving secondary account of 1/10, an amount not to exceed 110% of 1/12 of the district's adopted annual budget. So for us, for this current year, it would be just under $1.7 million. Currently, we have about $580,000 in that account. That account is generally derived from funds that come from the ratepayers on the west side of town as they pay their water bills to us. It doesn't go to the county like the property tax bills. It comes directly to us, and those monies get deposited directly into this account at ECC Bank. Back in 2012, the board authorized, prior to 2012, the board had a policy of not allowing checks to be cut from that account for more than $5,000, and it really tied our hands in the ability way we could do business. So the board authorized limits up to $100,000 that could be cut out of this account, where warrants could be cut out of this account, so that we could draw the account down on occasion, and we would push into the ceiling of the threshold ceiling. We're allowed to go ahead and draw those accounts down. So, for example, the reason why we selected the $100,000 limit was that we receive our monthly invoice from Veolia Water, and it was started out about 90 some odd thousand dollars when the contract started, and it's just hit just over $100,000 today. As you are aware, we receive a 1% discount if we pay the invoice within 10 days. In fact, thank you to the directors Pease and Leet for coming in the other day and signing that warrant so we can continue to get our 1%. But with the county, we can't always guarantee that they're going to pay it in 10 days. We can get it to them overnight. The bill comes in one day, we have you come in and sign it that day, we get it to them that day, and it could take 2 weeks, 3 weeks for them to get the check cut. Therefore, we could potentially lose the 1%, and we have run into that, but Veolia has been very understanding of our situation, and they haven't enforced it, but they want us to rectify it. And so what this action tonight would do would limit the account to no more than $100,000, with the exception of checks that are of the one monthly check for Veolia's monthly service, contractual service, that would be able to come out of that on occasion. We can't do it every month because we would run out of money. But on occasion, we can do it. In this case, we could do it 4 or 5 months without running into any limitations. We can absolutely get the 1%. And nothing else changes. You still have to require two board signatures to sign the checks as you do currently. So there would be no change to that procedure. It just makes it so that we are able to go ahead and receive that discount. So if you have any questions, Dina's here. She can address them. I can answer anything you might have.
Is there any clarifying questions from the board?
Just to clarify what you said, the account, it could be up to $1.6 million, but no check may exceed $100,000 with the exception of Veolia.
That's correct. There is a provision in the resolution that allows us to write a check out of that account in excess of $100,000, not the Veolia account. So, for example, let's say we had a check for $200,000 we had to write. We could do that, but the resolution and as it's written requires staff to bring that particular item to the board, get board authorization prior to cutting the check, and then you would approve it on either an action item or on a consent calendar. Then you could go ahead and sign it at that point.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Board discussion? Do I hear a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Okay. We're going to go down to, do we have any informational items at all from staff?
I was going to cut it up and talk about it with the general manager report, but I'll go ahead and do that right now. I had a meeting today in Martinez with the county and PG&E and pretty much every city in Contra Costa County. PG&E is going to be rolling out a LED lighting program for streetlight conversions, and we're pretty far up on the list to get those changed. There's 694 streetlights in Discovery Bay that are owned by PG&E, and they will be coming in starting the second quarter this year. So between April, May, and June, Those streetlights will be coming in and the conversion program will take place. They have offered, if you would like, for them to come and address this board and kind of fill you in on what's going to be happening. They'd be more than happy to do so. And they're also providing materials we can get out in our newsletter and that sort of things for collateral materials that we can provide the public. So if there's anything you'd like to see on that outside of just the fact, a schedule that's going to be coming up, once I get the exact schedule, they did offer to come and speak to you and give me a presentation.
Director Gray.
Are they changing just the heads or are they changing the poles too?
Just the heads.
Okay.
And is this every single streetlight in Discovery Bay? Does that include Lake Shore and the lakes?
No, those are private.
Oh, those are private, okay.
Yes. They will work with the different HOAs, and there is a, they do third party agreements, so they will work with non-PG owned, PG&E owned streetlight owners, if that makes sense, like the lakes or Lake Shore. And they will work with those HOAs or part of, like if we owned our own lights, they would come in and they would change them out.
All right, thank you. Any director comments? Seeing none, I don't have one. No manager's report?
I do have one item I want to get your input on. Oh, I do have one item I want to discuss with you. You're all aware of the urban water management plan that Ludorf and Skalman Mimi have been working on for the past number of months. I finished my final review of that this morning, and they're going to go ahead and take my comments and edits, and we're going to have probably a call on that next week to finish that up. I do want to get this on an agenda for the board to discuss. I've scheduled it for April the 15th, it's going to be a fairly long presentation, so I didn't want to do it on the first meeting of the month. So if that sounds okay with you, it's going to be fairly comprehensive. I'll probably provide a draft of the document to you in advance. It's going to be, if you remember, for those of you that were here, and those of you that have seen our master plans, it's a fairly substantial document. And so it will take some review to go through. I do want to get it to the Water Wastewater Subcommittee later this month before we do take it to the board in case they have any comments or concerns. But the plan is to bring it on the 15th of April, because then from there it needs to go to the Department of Water Resources and they have to comment on it, on the draft. And then after it goes to them, it's got to get vetted out through the local different agencies, Diablo Water, Biden Breath Irrigation, Brentwood Water Department. So it's going to be a fairly robust document with a fairly extensive review period. And it's got to be adopted by a public hearing. You're just going to get the first draft, so there's no public hearing. It'll be discussed in a public meeting, but it'll come back eventually as a public hearing document.
Any comments? I does staff feel that to make it a little easier for the board to kind of comprehend all of those flowing parts, that possibly a study session environment might allow us to get through it in lieu of trying to go through that in a more structured fashion at a regular agenda meeting.
That's your choice. It's going to be a fairly if you go through it and read it, you'll be able to get through it relatively easily. It flows pretty straightforward. It's going to be the presentation and the Q&A that might take some time. If the board wishes, we could do a study session, work session, or if you want, we can work around, if you will. But there's five Wednesdays in April, which means you'll have a meeting on the 1st, the 15th. And then you won't have another one until May the 6th. So I don't really want to make one meeting really light just to work around it to have this on there, but I do need to get it to you in a manner that you can all spend some time on it.
Yeah, well, just knowing how important it is and what you've just discussed with it, it's up to the board whether you prefer to have it presented whatever fashion you feel.
It depends on how extensive
I would, you recall, the two of you recall how long the review was when we went over the master plans. I would say it's not that extensive, but there are certain things that are in it that needs board input with respect to conservation plans. What's that?
Is there a deadline that you need to have this?
Yeah, 2010.
Okay. Let's just jump in the DeLorean and get there,
yeah,
I guess.
We're going to get the timer. 2010 will be back around for years.
we had to do that. The reason why it was a 2010 requirement by the state, we didn't necessarily get a waiver on that, but they knew we were doing our water master plan, and so that had to take place first, and that wasn't finished until 2011. And so this was following on the heels of that, and this is something we have to have completed. Per LAFCO, the Municipal Services Review that took place last year, one of their requirements was that our urban water management plan be completed prior to any further annexations. And as you have Newport Point, Pantages, as well as our wastewater treatment plant outside of our boundary area, we do need to do that. Those annexations do need to take place, and so this has to be in before that.
Okay.
So it'll be completed probably within the next 6 months completely, but we'll get it to you sometime in April.
Right. So does staff feel that in addition to the traditional agenda items, that this one item might take approximately an hour to an hour and a half to go through? Is that?
Want to do it on the 29th, the fifth Wednesday?
Well, I'm not sure if we want to have the special meeting.
Well, that's what we're leaning towards, right? It's going to take an hour and a half just for this one item, or not?
Do you want, let me do this. Let me touch base with Ludorf. We can have this follow-up discussion at the meeting on the 18th and make that determination.
Decide whether we're on a special meeting or just go ahead and have it at
it. It'd be better at a special meeting.
Right, Ruby. Okay.
We do have the advantage of five Wednesdays.
Except with Ludorf. Either way. I'm available if that's the decision.
I'm available too. So. All right. I would rather have the board not feel rushed that we have to get out of here for some reason and not have the ability to feel comfortable reviewing all this. So
this is a pretty important document. It's going to guide this district into the foreseeable future with respect to our water management.
Then I would myself tend to agree we should have a special meeting.
I would like also to make sure that we do this at a public meeting so the public can comment on it.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
It'll be the same format, but kind of in a workshop environment.
Yeah, exactly. And a single item meeting.
Right. Workshop environment.
Okay. Correct. Okay. District Lead.
Nothing to report. Always a pleasure to be seen.
Okay. Good to see you. Subcommittee updates. Anything from the finance committees?
No.
Communications?
Hasn't met.
Parks and Rec?
Hasn't met.
Water.
Greg pretty much covered our meeting.
He did. I agree. I think one of the major items that, from my standpoint, being new, is being able to interconnect with the word phones. I don't know. I think there's a better word, but anyway, everybody can understand what a phone is. Connecting all of our locations and being able to talk to each other. So there's going to be a major upgrade in that, and we'll bring it forward when we get it resolved. Is there any correspondence? Public records requests? Board have any future agenda items?
I do.
Please.
I would like you to add to the next agenda under business and action items a discussion and possible action regarding employee benefits package. As I'm sure you guys are, the emails have been flying all week in here, and there's a discussion as to what we're doing and whether it's legal or not. I did a little research into it this week myself. I am extremely concerned about it. I would like to see this on our next agenda. I would also like it to include documentation for the state of California, outline the procedures and our policies so we can qualify to find out who qualifies for Covered California. And I want to make sure that is on the next agenda.
It's a very complicated process, and I would request that I'm not sure I'm going to have all that information by next week.
Let me ask you this question, because I've gone on myself on the website, and it was simple. I downloaded everything that tells you what the procedures are, what they allow and what they don't allow. And I'm not sure why we're having a problem doing that. We should be able to pull it up just like I could. If we qualify for covered health, covered California, terrific. If we don't, we're putting ourselves out in a spot where we could light ourselves on fire and cost this town thousands of dollars. Everything I have received says that we're doing it wrong.
I understand what you're saying, but we're moving beyond
I don't want this to go past the next. If we're still enrolling employees in covered California, which we shouldn't be doing at this point until we look into this, and I don't want this to go on while we spend a month looking for documentation when that documentation is readily available.
Yeah. Legal counsel, could you advise?
Well, this is just an agenda item for listing future agenda items.
But just for
I hear the direction. What I would suggest is let staff, I mean, we're working through it as well, let staff direct when it would be appropriate to bring it to the board. I hear your concerns. We are concerned. We are discussing it back and forth. If it's available and ready for the next meeting, then we present it. If it's not, then we wouldn't be able to present it.
Yes, I honestly have an issue with it. Because we could put this off forever and ever saying, can't get, and I was able to get the information myself. So why can't we get it, is what I want to know. What's the difference?
It's not as simple as just going on and pulling off a couple forms. I hear that, and like I said, my suggestion would be we've got the direction that it should be a future board item. I'll work with staff, and we're still working through it, and shoot for the first meeting, but because the meetings are 2 weeks apart, it means material and all the review and all the recommendation have to be prepared next week.
Director Graves.
No, that's, I was just going to say, as long as staff and council understand the concern, whether it's valid or invalid concern, we've been presented with a problem that we need to address, and it's a high priority with us, and that's what guidance I would like to think the board is giving at this point is, this is something of critical importance to us, and we want to see it as soon as you can get it together.
Heard loud and clear.
Thank you.
I concur with legal counsel.
I agree with legal counsel also. So I think they'll bring it to us in an appropriate time. Staff's been notified, and board is on record. And I think that's all we can have.
Yes,
correct.
Sir.
Yeah. Okay. What I'd like to do at this time, Director Steele's family has had a personal situation. Director Steele's mom has passed away, so I'd like to adjourn the meeting in memory of her.
And her name is Janet Magdeal, so that's great. I'd like to appreciate that very much.
Okay, meeting adjourned.